this is Sarah.
And this is Beth.
And this is Everything is Rent, a podcast where we talk about the musical that's the best of all time, Rent, song by song.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we do on this podcast.
We have a very special guest. She's the co-host of podcast Forever 35 and the author of the book, The Dead Moms Club. Please give it up in your house by yourself. Give it up for Kate Spencer.
Give it up for me.
Yes.
So excited to be here.
Also a major Rent fan.
Major Rent fan in that my husband was like, I'm going to be on this Rent podcast. And I was like, who's doing it? And then I emailed you, Beth. Did I email both of you?
Maybe
I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, can I please be on your Rent podcast? And you graciously said yes.
We were, you were on the list.
Oh, thank God.
We were going to get to you for sure.
Yeah. I love Rent. Although in listening to past episodes of your podcast, I realized I've like blocked out a lot of Rent. Like I forgot about the second act. I forgot about the dance where they're all on the sheet singing about sex.
That's the first thing I think about every time.
Now that I remember, I can't stop remembering that that is a big part of Rent.
Yeah.
I didn't remember it until we saw it at the Pantages like a year or two ago. And it is wild.
Yeah. Especially just, now. It
yeah, the contact like, part ugh. All under the sheet. There's so much.
It's like a weird game of parachute.
Yes.
They all flip the sheet in the air and go under it.
Then they're trapped. But yes, I am a big, big Rent fan.
Great. Well, walk us through your experience with Rent.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Boston, and I think I first saw Rent on the touring show, which I think was when I was in high school. I have a hard time exactly remembering the times that I saw Rent, but I believe the two times I've seen it were both with ex-boyfriends who neither of them were into it. And I kind of was like, let's go see this amazing thing. So I saw it first in Boston, the touring company. And then I think in 1999, I saw it on Broadway, not with any original cast members by that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if I've seen it a third time. I think it's just those two. I might have seen it twice in Boston, maybe also with my family, because mm-hmm. I was so into it. And because I didn't grow up in New York City, like, you know, I had friends who I met later in college when I started college in 1997. Okay, wait, excuse me, backtrack. Rent might have been in Boston 96. 96,
it 97. Opened on Broadway in 96.
Well, then Kate's making updates. I'm making updates, but I saw it in the late 90s.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I saw it in Boston and on Broadway.
Yes.
But when I got to college, one of my best friends from college had grown up in New York City and gone to high school there and was a huge Rent fan and had like gone a bunch of times and done like the lottery, and she and all her high school friends were super into Rent. And so that only got me more sucked in.
Mm-hmm.
And just the allure that like in New York you could do this cool thing was like extra
mm-hmm. yeah.
titillating. Like it just made it, I had never heard of a musical where people were that devoted.
Yes, it was the first one.
Yeah.
Get that.
People were, it was like the Beatles. Yeah. You know?
I think of Rent and I think of the girls in my choir who used to like draw on their jeans and would write Rent lyrics.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That was a type of girl at your school?
Yeah, come on. We
jean
all know
drawers?
That. Yeah.
Oh, jean drawers.
For sure.
We didn't have jean drawers.
You didn't have jean drawers?
No.
Who just in class would like write with a pen on their jeans and usually just write
I
Rent
guess I went
or...
to school with more low-income people that couldn't afford to just write all over their
Well, I mean,
pants.
You make a point. It is definitely like...
I guess the Denver School of the Arts was just
full of people. Maybe people valued their jeans there.
That's
Maybe.
True.
Yeah. Jean drawing, I feel like, was a big part of...
Oh, yeah.
Also,
oh.
shoe drawing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shoe drawing, I participated in.
And certainly I can see a Rent lyric making it onto mm-hmm. any
No Day But
clothing.
Today.
Yeah.
Seasons of Love.
Today for You, Tomorrow for Me.
Yep.
Is
that one you might use?
Yeah. How did the music get to you? Like, how did the soundtrack make its way to you first before you went to see it?
That's a great question that I don't know the answer. I don't remember how it first showed up in my life.
Did you do theater as a kid?
Not really. I was into student government, and I was also into the band Fish. So I was a patchwork pant-wearing Rent seer.
Uh-huh.
I'm just trying to...
We're all different types of pant people.
Yeah, it was hard to write on patchwork, I will say.
For sure.
But in reflecting on how I got into Rent when I knew I was coming to talk to you guys, I couldn't quite remember... Like, who put it in my hands? Like,
yeah.
how did I, and the internet was around, so that's possible. And I certainly, like, I had always loved seeing musical theater. I loved The Who's Tommy. I saw that a bunch when I was like 12. Mm-hmm. So the idea of a rock musical, I was totally into. Plus it was like now when we think of Rent, it's like you could eye roll at Rent. But at the time it was subversive and cool.
Yeah.
And the things that they were singing about were real and edgy. And so it was like, I thought it was cool to be into Rent.
Yeah.
It wasn't a dorky, lame thing.
Oh,
it was
you're
like
100% right.
Right. I mean, I feel like I speak your Rent language in a lot of ways. And that it was very meaningful, I thought, to connect with Rent.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, but for me, I got into Rent because the cool kids, the cool theater kids, were into it.
The cool theater kids.
Which is a real subset of theater kids.
It is.
And I never really made it to one of them, but I was like, okay, they're into this thing. I guess I should learn every word to it.
Cool theater kids who would like drink and make out at the theater parties?
I don't even know if none of the theater kids I ever hung out with drank.
Okay.
Or until like after college.
Until their 20s.
Yeah. I don't know what made them cool. I think they were just a little bit better looking. Like puberty had not hit them the way it had hit the rest of us. So they got cast as like Eliza Doolittle.
Okay. All right. Fair. And, I know that. I know that girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't really. I was a little intimidated. I did do some performing. I was in the Vagina Monologues in college.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Did your college do it around Valentine's
of
Day?
Of course. Every year? We were the first. It was the first year.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if they still do it. That was.
I bet they do. I think every college still does.
You have to, right? Yeah. It's a rite of passage for a young feminist.
Yeah. Which was your
My mom? Angry Vagina.
Oh, wow. Oh, fun.
But that feels like the Vagina Monologues and Rent, all that stuff was kind of happening at the same time.
Yeah.
This like very commercial activist theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I liked that time.
Just paying lip service to like, we're talking about women's bodies and that's it. And we're talking about AIDS. And
A musical about AIDS. Like that is crazy when like coming out of the Reagan administration 10 years prior.
Yeah.
Where there was, I mean, so much discrimination against people with AIDS. And then there was a musical. Like, I think we forget how revolutionary that is. 90s chills on my own.
So then you saw it with ex-boyfriends. You saw it on Broadway.
Yep.
You saw it and maybe another time.
I think a Boston touring version a couple times.
So if you saw it with your family, what did your family think of it?
My parents, I think, enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But they were cool. Like my dad went to Woodstock, I think, and they were the ones who would take me to shows and stuff. So I think they had an appreciation. They were like, they're baby boomers. You know, they were born in 1950 and 51. So they weren't afraid of like controversial content.
Mm-hmm.
They're progressives, you know, so they were, I think they were kind of into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a hair for a new generation.
Thank you. That's a great way of putting it.
I read that in a book.
But that's
but
true.
But it's very true. Accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. And there wasn't anything, well, I guess that was such an interesting time for like art that spoke with what was going on culturally.
Yeah.
I feel like Rent does that so well.
Mm-hmm.
When did you move to New York?
2001, like a month after September 11th.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. A weird time to move to New York.
That's a weird time to move to New York.
Yeah.
You just already had the plan and you were like, I guess
I already had the plan. And then September 11th happened and my friend who's going to be my roommate was like, are you still coming? And I was like, I got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I moved like October 2001.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wild.
Were you thinking about Rent at all when you
I went
there?
To the Life Cafe a lot on the corner of like Tompkins Square Park and Avenue B.
Yes.
Yes. I would go there and like the first time it was like, here I am. I also didn't know it was real, I think, until that was the other thing. You couldn't really like Google as freely as you can now.
Yeah.
So I think I just listened to Rent and assumed it was a made up place. And when I started to find out like all these places were actually real, it was very, I'm going to use the word meaningful a lot while I'm here. It's very meaningful. Like just the reference of Avenue A and then you're on Avenue A.
Yeah.
Like it blew my mind. And already at that point when I got to New York, that area was gentrifying like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's unrecognizable. It was still edgy, but it wasn't the same place. It wasn't the same East Village that they're singing about in Rent, I don't think. Oh, but yeah, I mean, it just fucking like it like made me so, I can't even find the words to express like how thrilling it was to go be in the place where Rent took place.
Yeah.
And to be like, this is my home. I'm living this life now.
Yeah. I mean, was I a cool artist who couldn't pay rent and was like true to their truth? No.
Yes. Oh.
No. Yes. Yes. No.
Sure.
Was,
in ways.
I was working in retail in Soho, but I still just that like the magic of that world was very real to me.
Yeah.
And those people, like, what East Village characters they are. Like, those people kind of existed. And just Angel, you know, just the idea of like meeting Angel on the street, like that, doesn't that make you like tingle when you think about like you got to New York and you're like, get me to the East Village where I'm going to see all the cast of Rent in real life.
The cab driver's like, what are you talking
the
about?
The fuck you talking about? I'll take
me
you.
To Rent, please.
The subway stop should say Rent on this NR line. Instead you get out and it's just like a bank and a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That is what it all is.
It destroys me. And the fact that, like, Jonathan Larson doesn't know kind of haunts me.
Yeah.
But maybe it's best that he doesn't, you know?
Yeah. I think he'd love it. Be like, this was what I was talking about.
Dude, that dude would be so rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, does he have an estate where all the money from that show goes?
He does have an estate, and the estate is one of the, like, co-producers of the Rent Live happening in 2019.
Which I'm super into.
I'm dying. I'm so excited. I'll be in that live studio audience. I'll make
who's,
my way.
What network? What network is it on?
Fox. Does Fox do those?
It's Fox or ABC. And I think it's
NBC.
ABC
did Peter Pan.
Oh,
why do I know that?
No idea.
Doesn't matter. Will I would. I actually would attend that.
Oh yeah. I would go, but I think I would leave frustrated.
It's Fox. Just
okay. Just so everyone knows. Oh, that's interesting. They're going to do that on live network TV.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more suited for that than any of the other ones they've done because it is the only one that requires a set, like a unit set. But I also think they'll overcomplicate it and it'll be not representative anymore. It'll just be literal. Like
they'll try to make it like the movie, like halfway between the movie and the.
They haven't cast it yet, right?
They haven't announced any casting.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
So I'm waiting. I'm waiting to be angry.
Of course. I'm waiting for my phone call.
To be cast in it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who would
be Collins?
Okay. Just say, like, who is your, when you like perform Rent, like, who is your person? Like, who do you identify with in Rent?
I mean, Mimi. Even though I don't like really identify with her, we have almost nothing in common other than we're women and.
You don't go to the Cat Scratch Club?
That's it. Oh, I lived at the Cat Scratch Club. No, I would never go to a cool place like that.
No.
I would always want to and never have the balls to go.
100%, me too.
Just have friends who would also not want to go. So, but man, I wish. I went to a goth club for a bachelorette party last year, maybe 2 years ago. And it was really fun. Everyone, I like dressed in black and wore black lipstick.
Cool.
And it was.
Did you wear I feel like you wore cat ears.
Yeah, I wore cat ears because it was also the same weekend as some Comic-Con type thing in LA.
Fun.
It was you could get in for only $5 instead of $10 if you wore a costume. So I wore cat ears and I was like, if I don't get in for $5, I'll be fine. But why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good plan.
Who's your Rent person?
I mean, the one I most like is probably Mark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like kind of a dork who sells out. I feel like that's.
I think that's all of us.
Yeah. I mean, like that. Like who like goes scurrying back to their ex because their ex calls. Like, and Mark's just so. Also, Mark is kind of just like a passive observer through the whole thing. And that is also me. I'm not cool enough to be anybody else in the show. So Mark is who I truly connect with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way. I wanted to be Maureen when I was a kid. But
totally.
Yeah. I mean, I would scream that song. I would scream her performance.
Tango Maureen or Over the Moon?
Over the Moon. Yeah. Just at the top of my lungs and thought I sounded great.
I mean, it's hard to sound great during that song because it's insane. I mean, granted, like there's a lot of cool range, but you sound like a maniac.
Yeah.
No matter what.
It's super weird.
Mm-hmm.
That song, the fact that has such a prominent space in this whole experience, and the show is bizarre.
Well, yeah. I was, as I mentioned, reading a book about Rent recently, and I was reading about that being sort of just a pastiche of the performance art that was going on in the East Village.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I think it's a parody and a comment on that. Mm-hmm. It must be. I mean, totally. It's not. It's supposed to be bad, I think.
Yeah. But it also doesn't, then it doesn't make a good argument for why should we let these artists, I mean, I'm all for Rent 100%, but it truly is like, oh, if this is the type of art they're putting up, maybe we should build that studio.
But it works.
Why have we been letting them live here for free?
Yeah.
Then they just made this shitty show.
It inspires people, though.
It does.
In the end, it ultimately works for performance art, right? Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember the end. I honestly don't remember.
Because I think, I forget who, I mean, it was
there are more
the
protests.
Show.
There are more
protests. It's not the end of the show, but it's after she does, someone comes in and they're like, no one's leaving. They're just standing there mooing.
Oh, yes, that's
and
right.
And they're very excited about that.
That's right. She does make an impact.
She makes an impact.
But then, like, the riots continue over the lofts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Much like Rent, she makes an impact, but nothing changes.
That's the saddest part is, like, what they're talking about in Rent, like, all comes true.
Yeah.
It all comes true. It mm-hmm. all does become lofts.
Yeah.
With a creative space. And Rent, like, what is it? How does Benny say it? A condo's on the top. Well, Rent keeps open our shop. Blah, 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 blah. Then we'll have a mate. Like, it does. Mm-hmm. That all happens. That's real.
Yes.
And that sounds like
it truly,
the dream.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll see. And we do.
You'll see. It comes true. Mm-hmm. 2018 is a nightmare.
Oh, God. I do remember having that mentality as a kid. Like being like, I'm going to move to New York City. I'm going to be a musical theater actor. Mm-hmm. And then my mom would be like, don't you ever want to do movies in Hollywood? And I would be like, that's selling out, mom. And like, now that we're talking about it, I must have gotten that from Rent.
Yeah.
I have no idea where else I would have gotten that notion that not doing theater would be selling out. And then I got to New York. I was like, when can I sell out? I don't have enough money to live here.
Mm-hmm. I will say, like, another thing that I think about with Rent now is that for me as a 17-year-old growing up in a very white, very conservative, not a conservative family, but my town was very, not conservative, just crusty, just Boston crusty. Boston itself is a liberal, or Massachusetts, fairly liberal place, but still very, you know,
Catholic
or Protestant, hetero-focused, mm-hmm. very segregated, and seeing like gay couples in relationships, a trans woman. Is Angel technically trans? Can we cut this?
We don't
about
know.
Because they refer to her as her or him as him sometimes.
Okay.
So
it's sort of interchangeable. Mm-hmm.
But just and talking about AIDS in a very matter of fact way. Also seeing people like living with AIDS and HIV and having like fully functioning relationships and lives is that we didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like that now it doesn't seem weird. But at the time, just seeing such a diverse group of people and artists was like very eye-opening for me as like this 17-year-old white girl from White Town, USA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially like if you saw a lot of musicals, there's no same-sex couples in them.
And there's also just at the time, especially, there's not a lot of like very popular modern day musicals, I think, that were about like, I feel like maybe this was just me, but all I've been seeing was like Guys and Dolls and The King and I.
Right.
So I'm like, everyone's in period costumes. This is about like people falling in love or not. And it isn't about like, this is kind of about the people that are living right now, just like in New York and
actual people. Also, mm-hmm. not even in New York, like all over America.
Yeah. It's the original Roseanne of musicals where it's like, oh, poor people.
That's true. But like a liberal version, right? Was Roseanne liberal?
I don't remember politics coming up on
It's only 2018 Roseanne.
Yeah. This is a total digression about The Bachelorette, but I'm going to just go for
it.
Which mm-hmm. is that I just watched The Men Tell All,
mm-hmm.
and one of the final guys where she went on the hometowns has a brother who has a husband.
Oh.
And on The Men Tell All, and I was like, oh, that's cool, and they don't, like, make a thing of it. It's mm-hmm. just like, cool. And then, but on the Mentel All, it's like, well, what did it mean to you to have your brother, you know, on TV with his husband?
Oh my
and
God.
They're like, it's just good that we're bringing light this, you know, that there's gay people in the world. I was like, this is insane.
Truly,
fucking
what?
Fucking make a gay bachelor. Yeah. And bachelorette.
I was like, have
ABC.
You seen Rent? They already did it.
Which I gave up on this season of The Bachelorette, so I can't contribute.
Okay. Well, we shouldn't talk
They're
about
the two
it on
finalists.
This podcast.
Two finalists, right? And one made really like racist and homophobic comments.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then the other one's just going to win, I think. But.
It's this, very boring.
I think the conclusion won't be out before this podcast.
Yes.
So we'll see if I was right.
I've already actually spoiled the ending for myself.
Oh, you read it.
I read Reality
it?
Steve.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Sorry. Anyway, I know this is not The Bachelorette. Everything
I think
is Bachelor.
We've started a new podcast.
I mean, a
There's
Rent
no
Bachelor
podcast about the Bachelor
combo.
That is unique.
Yes.
Because we could talk about who we would give the final, like which of the actors we would bone.
Mm-hmm. And then which of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would be different probably.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I would marry Joanne because she's sensible, has a great career, pragmatic. Like you would probably fuck Maureen or Roger or Mimi, marry Joanne. I would also fuck Collins and Angel. I'd marry Angel. Well, you know what? Most of them I'd marry. Kill Benny.
We did. Kill Benny.
I mean, he's good at the end, but he's kind of such a such a prick.
He's like barely good.
Yeah.
We did fuck, marry, kill with Nicole Byer and. She just wanted to kill all of the what she deemed annoying characters, who was like Mark and Maureen, basically. Mm-hmm. Kill them.
They are annoying. True.
Yeah. But they are the two that I identify with.
Yeah.
I just have to live with that.
That's your truth.
Yeah. Was there any part of Rent when you saw it or listened to it where you were like, yes, here it is. This is my favorite part or part that you just hate?
Oh, I mean, part that I hate? Yeah. Well, honestly, when I found out what song I was doing, I hadn't listened. One thing that's annoying is you can't get the original cast recording on Spotify. You can only get the movie soundtrack.
You can't get the original
what?
Cast.
What? You can?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never found it. It always pulls up the fucking movie soundtrack.
The movie comes up first, so you have to like dig and dig.
Oh.
It's very annoying.
And I have the CDs.
I didn't
if that's
know that.
Of interest as well.
It is because I wanted to go back and listen, and I was just YouTubing. But when I clicked on the link of what my song choice was, it filled me with the rate. Like this, for some reason, just the way it's sung used to drive me insane. And so that, and then I had a good chuckle to myself because then my husband, who's been on this podcast, got a good song. And
they're
Will Hines, who doesn't appreciate it, got one song, Glory, which I was like, how does he?
He did immediately recognize. He was like, oh, yeah, that's a banger.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Everyone's going to be mad at me. And it's true.
I mean, the songs that give me chill. I mean, Will You Light My Candle is like the one I want to sing to the most. But also like I'll Cover You is such an amazing song. Mm-hmm. And then the reprise of it, like just their relationship, I could like cry just thinking about.
Yeah.
I love Collins and Angel. It destroys me that Angel dies. And that the way they bring that back is just so beautiful. I'll Cover You is just such a beautiful song.
Yes.
I fucking love it. And there's also a lot of like recurring songs, like the things that kind of come up in the meetings and stuff, like the Will I Lose My Dignity.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful and poignant and also very simple. And I just think like the way Rent just touches on all sorts of really pressing issues about like mortality and humanity and dignity is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
fucking love Rent.
Favorite moments of Rent, the whole musical except the song we're about to.
Well, no, I will say like I realized I've blocked out most of the second act.
Okay.
Like for me, Rent just kind of ends with Seasons of Love. And then I vaguely remember that Angel dies and that makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
then,
an Into the Woods situation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Where you're like, ooh, that was fun. And then you watch the second act.
Yes. Like I forgot about the sex song in the sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot basically all the character choices from the second act. So
I recently listened to Happy New Year. It's not great.
I like it.
But I don't, this voicemail for some reason has always kind of just like irked me.
Okay. Well, I think we should listen to it.
Okay. And I will take you, it's the staccato.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We do? Oh, we do.
Well, Joanne, we're off.
It drives me nuts.
And they said you're stage managing or something.
Remind her that those unwed mothers in Harlem need her legal help too.
Call Daisy for our itinerary, or Alfred at Pound Ridge, or Eileen at the State Department in a pinch. We'll be at the spa for New Year's. Unless the senator changes his mind.
The hearings?
Oh, yes, kitten.
Money. There's so much information about her parents that we don't need.
I think it's good background on Joanne. I mean, it tells you kind of, this part gets interesting.
I am not.
For mummy's this part, here we go.
No Doc Martens this time. And wear a dress. Oh, and kitten, have a merry.
And a bride.
Okay. Can I quiz you guys on something that I learned like just this week about that voicemail?
Yes, I think Sarah may have also just learned it.
The and a bra? Yeah.
I thought it was and a bright.
Me too!
Because oh, it's a Mary and a bright.
You guys, Sarah, it's a brilliant joke. I learned it
this week.
Me too, because I was watching like a lyric video about it, or I read the Genius lyrics, and they were like, they're saying and a bra. And I blew my
Beth
mind.
Beth told me, and I truly had no, I've been singing and a bright loudly forever.
100%.
You should both
me
be
too.
So embarrassed right now.
I am, because wear a, for Mommy Say Kitten, No Doc Martens, and wear a dress, and then her adding and wear a bra, but also he made it so it sounds like and a bright.
Yes.
Right? It's so smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that blew
that line in between.
Mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's always been a real high point.
How did
me.
You figure that out? Did you just hear it and know it was bra?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, you're so
don't rub it in. Jeez.
I guess I just heard it and knew. Because there's no conclusion. And it does sort of, this song sort of ends. Then we go into our fun music for today for you. Mm-hmm. But there is sort of a pot, you know, it's like bra and it doesn't get, maybe it does get interrupted. I don't think so, though. I think it like hangs there.
Yeah.
And then the audience laughs, I think.
Yeah. I also love that last note because it's such a beautiful, it's a perfect little harmony.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great little chord.
Her voice is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I can't stand for whatever reason is just the, well, Joanne, we're off. I tried to at the office. Like just that. Is it staccato? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
It drives me nuts. He sounds great. The characters seem, they're
Do you think
homophobic,
he's, but they're having him be staccato to be like, I'm a proper man.
You're setting up that they're like really well to do. They are like significantly important in like the mm-hmm. government political world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they clearly like don't approve of Maureen. They don't approve of, or I think they are like, don't approve of her, like maybe her sexuality in general.
Definitely. Yeah.
And also like how she's expressing herself with her fashion. And mm-hmm. so there's like this.
Cause they have the, like, we need you alone.
Yeah. Right.
Six.
Yeah.
And like, they want her to help the people that they deem worthy of her, like, pro bono legal help.
I also kind of do, too. Like, I do feel like Joanne is wasting her time. More, like, she can date Maureen, but, like, why is she investing so much in Maureen's show?
Yeah.
It's out of her, like, she's not a tech person, as she explains to Maureen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's not a theater person.
No.
At all.
Yeah. And those unwed mothers in Harlem need her help, too.
They need her legal help.
Yeah. Unwed mothers.
I also Googled what Pound Ridge was.
Yes, me too.
It's like a big, like a fancy community or country club, right?
Yeah.
So, which I had never thought to look up before. I just assumed it was like some nice, fancy place.
Yeah, I thought of it as like the Ritz.
Yes, sure. Totally.
I've never looked it up because of that same thing, because I know what Pound Ridge is.
Yeah.
Some place that's got tennis courts, probably.
Yeah, grass and clay tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Wear white.
The song is just like a collection of a bunch of the most generic rich person things.
Totally.
Like, we talk to the senator and like we'll be at Pound Ridge and we'll be at the spa.
There's a secretary.
Like you can tell Daisy this. You can tell Eileen.
Or Eileen at the State Department. Like they're clearly important people working in the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They refer to each other as mummy. Or he refers to her as mummy.
And kitten.
And all right, kitten.
Yeah.
Kitten.
Because like Joanne's so not a kit, like kitten is not how she's like this tough, cool woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know all the words to that. I mean, God, how many times have I listened to that?
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
just like weird snippet of 50 seconds of music.
I can't stop thinking of the first line now.
Well, Joanne,
drives me nuts. I tried you at the office, but they said you were stage managing or something. It's just, whoever made those, the choices to make him, who would have that have been? The musical, like Jonathan Larson or the director? Like who decides that he has to sing it that way?
I feel like it would have been written into the music that way.
Oh, mm-hmm. It drives me nuts. Again, nothing against the actor himself.
Yeah.
He's doing his job
great baritone.
Perfectly well. Yeah. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. He sounds great.
The
and
song-
they sound well to do.
Yes.
Like he sounds mm-hmm. like every time I hear it, I like sit up straight.
Yeah.
Sounds- Maybe that's the intention. It's supposed I'm to make sure. You feel just hate it.
And yeah,
it's supposed to make you right. mad.
It does yeah. make me mad though.
I hate those things though. When I watch a movie or hear a song or something that I'm like, I know your intention is to make me uncomfortable, but I'm still mad.
Right. It works yeah. and it's annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess this is also maybe showing us like this is Joanne's struggle. Because the other, she doesn't have the money struggles or the AIDS struggles of mm-hmm. the rest of them, but she does have these like terrible homophobic.
Yeah, and pressure. Pressure to be a certain way with her career, with her her identity, like her personal life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that also sucks.
Yeah.
And watching her fit into the world of all the starving artists is really interesting because she's the only, well, and Benny, they're the only two who have like, you know, paid successful jobs.
Yeah. And Benny only came by his, I think, because of his
wife.
Fiance.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's yeah. right. Because mm-hmm. he was their
he
poor
there.
Roommate.
Yeah, yeah. He lived there with them. This is also a continuation of the parent shaming that happens throughout where it's like parents are dumb. They don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so what true. Are you doing? Stage managing or something? And then at the end, it's like your mom's nervous. Like it's just like parents are basket cases who know nothing mm-hmm. throughout this entire play.
Totally. Although I don't feel like it's wrong. Like the generational the generational gap is so real. I don't know. There's yeah. some, like especially I imagine like those parents who probably like came up in the 60s like before the cool 60s, like those people's parents were like fit like dorky 60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have like counterculture experience, and then their kids are like living in lofts, you know, stripping and like making art, and they were probably like, what the fuck is happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what, I'm doing a full 180. I'm taking their side. They're the good ones.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're because Joanne, yeah, she should be wearing a bra to mommy's confirmation hearing. That's crazy.
She doesn't need a dress. I mean,
she
you can wear docks.
Yeah. 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 Like some nice black or floral mm-hmm. docks, mm-hmm. but she should be wearing a bra. And also, maybe they just hate Maureen. Maybe they're not homophobic and they're just like, your girlfriend sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
she kind of does. Like, if my daughter brought home Maureen, I would be like, oh, you, yeah. what?
Yeah.
Like, really? And you're now
how
like,
do you think they even have a conversation with Maureen? What do they talk about?
Her motorcycle? I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
And like, Maureen's taking Joanne away from really important work.
Yeah.
The unwed mothers in Harlem.
Yeah. They need her legal
she,
help.
I found a photo of her during that whatever. And she's wearing a like a belt that looks like
oh, grass.
The grass belt?
Really?
Yeah.
Joanne?
Maureen.
No,
oh,
Maureen. Okay.
Her over the moon costume is.
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
Because it's also like not really like a, it doesn't look like the character put on a costume. It looks like the character showed up in what she was wearing and it's so stupid.
It's a striped long sleeve shirt tucked mm-hmm. into like bell bottoms, I think,
mm-hmm.
with a thick belt that looks like
grass. Yeah,
like
and it's not a picture of it. Yeah, it's like
AstroTurf-y. I need to go back and look this up because I remember looking at the outfits like from a teenager point of view and was like, whoa.
Yes.
They are cool. Like rockers. Like you remember there was like one woman in the chorus who had like big two buns on her
mm-hmm.
head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like everyone just looked kind of like Gwen Stefani-ish.
Yeah, because the buns also had like a pink like furry bikini top.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lots of big docks and boots and they just and like plaids. It was just it seemed cool.
Yeah.
Now it looks ridiculous. Although now that is all back
it's
in style.
Back.
Yeah.
Very confusing.
Yes. Unfortunately,
cool.
It's back.
Truly the most unfortunate thing to happen fashion-wise for me personally.
Pants like, getting wider is a disaster for me.
Yeah, and it's, chokers and shorts. I mean, shirts getting shorter.
Oh,
yeah.
A nightmare. It's hard
awful.
To show. I hate it.
I play a game when I'm in like a Forever 21 where I look at a shirt and I say, when I pick this up, will it go all the way down or will it just be part of a shirt?
I have my brain is broken because I think every time I go shopping, I will still like, I'll try one on. I'll be like, maybe, maybe today's the day that I wear, you know, like a real short shirt.
I totally put it on
and I hate myself.
Yeah.
The moment I put it on and I, but it happens every time.
I've been there so many times.
I think I have like a weird body dysmorphia where I always think I will always look good.
That's a good body. Nice. That's, you know, like body
pretty
rock
good.
On morphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I have really high self-confidence until I find a mirror and then I'm like, oh. But then as soon as I'm away from the mirror, I feel great again.
Hey,
so
you won Workout Warrior this morning.
I did.
What is we go to the same gym and Sarah won Workout Warrior.
What gym do you go to? What's Workout Warrior?
It's called Go Tribe.
Oh, yes. I know so many people who are into that place.
A lot of people are doing it.
Do you go over the hill?
Yeah. It's in Toluca Lake.
Yeah, I live right near there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll see you guys there.
You should pop in. Okay. I'm in my 2-week trial, so I haven't committed, but I probably
okay,
will.
Okay, you gotta join that tribe.
Yeah.
I got Workout Warrior today.
See, this is what Jonathan Larson would be like. Oh my God.
He would be horrified.
He'd be horrified. He wrote this like meaningful political musical about state of American culture. And we are all
we're talking about half shirts.
Imagine them first finding out about Starbucks and then finding out about Starbucks Reserve.
Oh
no. It's like double whammy.
He comes back to life. He finds out about that. It kills him.
It kills him all over again. There's so much, like, just even the fact that the diner he worked at, which was still around when I got to New York City, which I also, what is it called? The Moonstruck. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Down on like 6th Avenue, like down kind of near Soho.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Larson, like very famously, like was working at this diner while he wrote Rent, which I know you guys know, but just in case my husband's listening, doesn't know about Rent.
He has to.
And he worked at this diner and it got torn down to like make room for condos. And I just like, fuck, that just destroyed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wrecked me thinking about that.
When was the last time you were in New York?
It's been 4 years and I'm going back in 3 weeks.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, I'm actually really kind of like upset, nervous that it's going to wreck. It's going to destroy me.
Where are you going to stay?
In Times Square, just because Anthony, my husband, is working there. So he'll have a place. Mm-hmm. So we'll just stay wherever he's put up.
Yeah. That'll be even worse then.
Yeah, I used to work in Times Square. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to it.
Yeah.
And that hasn't changed an insane amount.
No. Yeah, that's
There's
true.
Just
that's
a lot more
always,
pedestrian.
But I did have
now.
To explain to my kids, I was like, you guys, New York is, it's a really chaotic city and like it's going to smell like pee and poop. And because I don't think they truly, it's New York's not an easy place.
This is like the new version of the like birds and the bees talk.
Yeah. New York smells like shit. You might see human shit everywhere. And I really loved it. It was my favorite city in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're bringing...
We're all going. Yeah. Because one of my oldest was actually born there and feels a deep connection to it. Like
Does
when you're
she?
Like, we're from LA. She's like, actually, I'm from New York.
Wow.
Girl. All right. You don't like smoked salmon. So get over yourself.
Are you going to introduce them to Rent? Have you thought about that?
I think we've listened to some of it. Okay. And I was actually playing some of it for them recently. They love musicals.
Mm-hmm.
They love The Greatest. I mean, does The Greatest Showman count as a musical?
Yes.
Because they love that. They love Hamilton.
Okay.
They will, and we're going to see Wicked.
Oh, great. Fun.
Yes. And they've seen Into the Woods. Like they've sat through shows.
Mm-hmm.
They're sturdy. I mean, they have a musical theater dad, so it's kind of part of who they have to
They
be.
Can't help it.
Yeah.
No. They're forced into this life. But I think I would love for them to get into Rent. Like we heard Seasons of Love. They know that.
Yeah.
They better.
Yeah. I think everybody does, whether you have seen Rent or not. Everyone has heard.
That is such a good song.
It's so good.
And just the like conceit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Counting the fucking 565,600. Like that's just so such a brilliant trope.
Yeah. It's smart. It's great.
It's nice all agreeing on this.
It's fun. Because we've done a couple, with people that don't like Rent or don't know about it. So.
God, it's good to have you here.
It's truly an honor.
I have a follow-up question about this song. So Mommy's confirmation hearings are on the 10th. They need Joanne there by the 6th? Why?
So specific. Hold on one second. Okay, I have to hear the song in my head again. Well, Joe, we'll try that. Okay. Oh, how do the lyrics
go? It's at the very end.
Oh, yes, kitten.
Oh, yeah.
Mommy's confirmation hearing begins on the 10th. We'll need you alone by the 6th.
What?
Harold,
you hear that? It's 3 weeks away and she's already nervous.
I guess actually mom is trying to not be homophobic there. It's like, Harold, don't say that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the 10th, that's too many. You don't need, why does Joanne even need to be at Mummy's confirmation hearing?
That, again, makes no sense. Joanne's like a grown-ass woman.
Yeah. Who should show up the day of. Great.
Yeah.
Congratulations. But yeah. 4 days?
The confirmation hearing, you're there at the like swearing in ceremony. That would make sense to me. But the confirmation hearing is when she would be like sitting in front of senators.
Where they're like asking her questions.
Yeah. Why would Joanne need to be there?
Doesn't another thing that doesn't make sense.
Jonathan, can you come back?
Please fix this.
Starbucks Reserve actually has some really nice espresso.
I keep trying to kill off the ghost of Jonathan Larson.
Great. Well, I think it's time to move into our final segment.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, Kate,
yes.
I would deem you a celebrity expert.
That's hilarious.
You know more about celebrities, I think, than I do.
Yeah.
Maybe. You like celebrities.
I do. It's gotten, as I've stopped covering them professionally, I don't... know as enough and as much.
Okay.
But I still would say,
but you're still aware of like who's
celebrity
a celebrity
observer.
You're
sure.
Okay. So you're a celeb observer.
If you're asking me to cast the Rent Live.
Yeah. Well, it can be specifically Rent Live, but yes, we're asking you to cast Rent with current day celebs. Wait. So who would Kristen Stewart be?
As I say this, I realize she's completely wrong for every character. She could be one of the chorus.
Sure.
One of the chorus people in a funky outfit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I would put her. But having said that, I actually do think Robert Pattinson could play Roger, because what people might not realize is that Robert Pattinson can actually sing. He has a song on the Twilight. He has a good voice. He's a song that was on the Twilight soundtrack. And he,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he used to sing, do gigs before he got too famous. and he's brooding.
Yes.
I mean, he might be too old for the part. I have no concept of how old the actors need to be.
It's fine.
Early 20s?
I mean, I think the characters are early 20s, but...
But on Broadway, it's even older than TV rules, where it's like,
yes.
You can be
like 72 and being Mark. Okay.
I don't know much about, like, Robert Pattinson, Twilight. What else?
Okay. Oh, what he's been in?
Yeah.
Oh, God, he was just in this insane movie that I can't forget that was so good.
Okay.
Where he, like... I can't even remember how it goes.
Oh, you're trying to think of it?
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
And he is so good in it. Like, Robert Pattinson, I think,
should have been nominated.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll Google him.
All
I have IMDb open, but that's because I want to tell you who my mark is.
Well, if he should have gotten an Oscar nomination, then he sounds good enough to play Roger.
Yeah. He could definitely do the, like, Roger's songs.
Good Time?
Yes. It's so good. Like, it's really excellent, and it will make you, like, believe in him as an actor.
Okay.
Ooh.
I want Daniel Kaluuya. I don't know if that's how you say his last name. He's my mark.
Okay.
Okay.
Because he's so good. I feel like he's wonderful at being earnest.
Yeah.
And also, he would be – Mark essentially has to carry the whole show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he could completely handle that.
I think he might be a really likable Mark.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can sing, but we don't care, right?
We don't
care.
Sing?
Okay. Yeah. Demi Lovato, who I hope is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she would be good in numerous parts.
Okay.
I'd put her in every part.
Demi Lovato. I think that might be the closest you'll get to someone that might actually be in
Live Rent. I wanted to say that, and I didn't want to, I feel so sad for what she's going through.
Yeah.
And at the time of this recording, Demi Lovato is currently hospitalized after a drug overdose.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
But... I hope that she gets the care she needs.
Yeah.
And is able to perform in this Live Rent that I'm casting.
We're putting it on.
And just any role.
I think she would be a good Mimi.
Yeah, okay. I think she'd be
actually,
a great
Mimi.
Actually,
you know who also I think would be good is Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's so like, I'm a sexy kitten.
But she's a white woman.
Well, right. We would like a Latina woman.
Yeah, I think.
Is Ariana Grande not
she's
anything but white?
Italian.
Oh.
And we are... White. Us Italians.
That's true. I'm an
white.
Italian, and my grandmother thought we were discriminated against.
Oh,
my Italian grandmother, but
yes,
we are
my
not.
Italian relatives very much.
Yeah,
think that.
We should talk about that. That's a fascinating thing about Italians.
Yeah.
You know who also I think is really good? Again, I'm coming out of seeing Greatest Showman recently. Mm-hmm. Zendaya.
That's cool. We did the segment with Lauren Adams. also Cass Zendaya, and mostly people from Greatest Showman.
Yeah, I know. Well, Zac Efron also would be a good Roger, I have to say.
I agree. It's come up.
I still agree.
We'll have to do this segment again, like down the line, and see if also Zendaya and Zac Efron get back in.
Zendaya, I think, is a. I feel like Greatest Showman actually doesn't totally highlight her strengths as a singer and actor, but she's talented.
What else has she done? Because I've not seen Greatest Showman.
Spider-Man. She's in Spider-Man.
I did love her in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If she is in that.
Who else would I'm sure there's like a YouTube star who would be great.
Yeah, probably.
Just in general?
Just you would have to, like, if we were casting this in 2018, you'd have to cast some sort of, like, influencer.
Gross. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to, but that's what you would have to do.
Yeah.
Who's on your list? I'm trying to think of all these parts, and I don't know who. The hard part is I'm thinking of singing.
Yeah. And don't worry about singing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we need a Collins. We need an Angel. Mm-hmm. We need a Joanne.
A Joanne. A Maureen? Or is...
Maureen. Yeah, we need Maureen as well. Who's like could be a really flamboyant narcissist for Maureen?
Oh, well, she's already a musical theater actor, but I feel like it should be, she won Celebrity Big Brother, and her name is, she was on Hairspray.
Oh, Nikki Blonsky?
No, the, that's all I know. She was in, oh my gosh, I can't believe I can't think of her name. Marissa Jeanette Winokur. Is that who you pronounce
it? Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
She would be a fun.
I know her.
She was also on Dancing with the Stars. I'm a big fan of her.
What about some of the actors from Rent? Like, David Diggs could also be a Roger.
Oh, you mean Hamilton?
Yep. I did just say Rent. Like, you're like, David Diggs was not
Hamilton. Rent. The Hamilton Rent interchangeable.
I know it's too easy, but I do feel like. I think Davy Diggs is super sexy. Like, part of it is like, you have to have that like sex thing. Mm-hmm. He's so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would also put Lin-Manuel Miranda in.
He's such a mark.
He could be Benny too. Wouldn't he be a fun?
He could be a good Benny.
Benny.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I can see that.
Oh, that's a really fun choice.
My people are just musical.
I know. Well, it's hard though. I mean, I actually... When they cast Rosario Dawson as Mimi, I felt annoyed. But going back and listening, because remember, I couldn't find the musical soundtrack, so I listened to the movie soundtrack recently. She does a great job.
Yeah.
I don't really quite remember how it was in the film, which I actually don't know if I've ever been able to get through totally.
Beth has never seen it.
I've never seen a minute of it.
It's not. I don't think it's worth
Sarah
it.
Sarah fell asleep during it.
I fell asleep during it.
Yeah.
We will have an episode where we watch it. And
yeah.
I think you have to. That's kind of like the perfect culmination.
Yeah.
Is sitting through watching that. But I thought Rosario Dawson did a great job. So I do think there are actors who aren't like traditional musical theater actors.
Sure.
Also, you know who was so good in Rent? Greece? I keep to say Rent. Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh, she's great.
She was amazing. Yeah. She was so, like, she might actually be a good Maureen.
She was Sandy in Greece Live?
No, she was Rizzo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't see it.
And I think Julianne Hough was Sandy. Like,
Sure.
But
Julianne Hough, I was told, went to the place I was going to for physical therapy. And I got very excited.
I love those LA moments. Also, that means they've got to do a good job because she's a dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she went there for class. I went there because my body's broken.
A class?
They do classes, like workout and dance classes at the place I go. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you're like struggling to like walk around the room with a band around your knees. And then there's a bunch of dancers doing planks.
Okay.
That makes me feel good.
Humiliating.
And again, Jonathan Larson is not enjoying this.
Gosh, I need to think of a couple more people who I think would be good.
I feel like maybe this is too close to home, but Rachel Bloom would be a great Maureen.
Oh, she would be a great Maureen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She'd be a great Maureen.
She'd be perfect.
Should we start a campaign?
Yep.
She would be so funny.
She'd be amazing.
Yeah, she would be fucking great.
They should just draw from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Everybody on that show is amazing.
All of those live musical shows.
Because the dude who plays, what's his face?
Josh?
Yeah, is also great.
Yeah.
Again, he could be Roger. There's a lot of hunks who could be Roger. He could also be Collins. Could he be Collins? You need a deep baritone for Collins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always think of Collins as kind of this like big brooding guy. Yeah, like he's got that big jacket.
Confident.
Yeah, he's a professor, like kind of an anarchist and a professor.
I mean, I just want Jesse L. Martin forever.
He's so good.
Sure, he's too old for that part now, but why not?
Oh, why not?
He's still a celeb. Colin's age is slightly less defined, I feel like.
He could be older.
He could be older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Collins and Joanne can be a little bit older. Everyone mm-hmm. else sort of needs to be a young,
yeah. young person. What about Angel?
I don't know, but I feel like you would not want to cast a straight white man.
Sure.
Like you wouldn't want a Jared Leto.
Oh my God.
Angel.
I didn't think it. I would, but you mentioned it. Now I want. Now I want.
You want to see that happen?
As Angel.
Gross.
Just struggle through the role.
I don't know who I would want to see. Angel is stumping. That's such a pivotal mm-hmm. role. Whoever the, I don't know the name of the actor who does it on Broadway, but like, could there be anybody better?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
He was the one who won, like it was nominated for a bunch of Tonys and it won a couple for the book and the score. And a few of the actors were nominated and he won.
Right? Yeah.
Wilson, Jermaine Heredia.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's amazing. But yeah. I don't know. And I'm trying to think of like Joanne, Ben, like these kind of, these, they're not peripheral, but like Joanne, Benny. Be interesting if a woman played, if Benny was a woman.
Oh yeah.
Because Benny's such a kind of an asshole.
Mm-hmm. And a bit of a womanizer.
Yeah. Be interesting if you had an asshole womanizing woman in mm-hmm. that role.
It should be the woman from Unreal, Constance Zimmer.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's perfect.
Oh, she's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it would mean so she would be the one that later dates Mimi and like mm-hmm. her in rehab and stuff.
That's perfect.
That's
that's like the, and like
100%.
Her character's whole demeanor. That's actually like the best casting I've thought of. So,
I love her.
So now we only have Joanne. Mm. Or Joanne says, you want like someone who's like a really strong, firm presence.
Mm-hmm.
Who could that be? Who's got that vibe? Again, not Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart as
Joanne.
Oh, I don't think so. Let me circle back to Joanne.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of movies I've seen recently where I've been like, what a performance.
I mean, Greatest Showman has so many.
I guess I have to see that.
Greatest Showman is, oh, you know what? Actually, not to bring it back to Greatest Showman, but the woman who plays the bearded lady in The Greatest Showman has an incredible voice and amazing presence. She could be Joanne.
All right.
Mm. She's so good.
Yeah.
You do need to see Greatest Showman. I thought it was going to be like LOL, hilarious bad, and it actually is like super catchy and enjoyable.
All right.
Now, would Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone be in this at all, tap dancing their way through?
Ryan Gosling, he could be Roger.
He could be a Roger. Yeah.
Guys, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh.
As Roger.
He has to be Roger because mm-hmm. he's the hottest man and he loves musical theater. He's got an amazing voice.
I love him.
He carried, what's it called? Sundays in the Park with George.
Uh-huh. You know who should be Collins? I know we've
Jake
already.
Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Just all still.
He does all the roles.
All of them. I was like, what else have I been watching? And I thought about Mission Impossible, and that made me think about, this is a long walk. It doesn't matter. There's someone in it from The Crown. And then I was like, oh, the other show that I'm watching The Crown and I'm watching Luther.
Oh.
Idris Elba would be a really great, confident, like.
Uh-huh. Like sauntering, strongly sauntering. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would be good.
Though I can't imagine him getting beat up is the only problem. He's too strong.
Yeah, that's true. That would be hilarious to see people like come up to him and beat him up.
Uh-huh.
Well, I recently, with Sarah, saw Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. So now I'm thinking Excellent. About that cast.
Like you just casting Cher in every part.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Cher
Andy
is Roger.
Garcia
is
Cher Angel? As Mimi, but Cher can't really move her body, so the choreography for Out Tonight would just be her slowly
robotic.
She just walks back and forth.
I mean, Amanda Seyfried can sing.
Yeah, she's a good mm-hmm. singer.
It's always interesting to me the actors who then all of a sudden reveal that they're also singers.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a fascinating. I mean, I guess that's all of Pitch Perfect.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
Anna Kendrick would probably be in this reboot.
Sure.
Oh, maybe she'll be in the
live.
Is she
too big for it? Is she too famous?
I feel like she's probably too, like she's Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I don't think she should do it.
Yeah.
I also she think wants to. Dear Evan Hansen dude would be a great Mark.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What's his name?
I think it's Evan Hansen.
That's right. He's got a cast. He just walks around with that cast. Why can't I think? You know that guy.
Yeah.
You know who else can also sing? And then I'm going to shut up forever. Is Beanie Feldman.
Who is Beanie Feldman?
Jonah Hill's sister, who is in Lady Bird.
Oh.
The best friend in Lady Bird. She actually is. She and why the fuck can I not remember Dear Evan Hansen?
Beanie Feldstein.
Beanie Feldstein. Made up a name.
Mm-hmm.
Beanie Feldman.
Dear Evan Hansen guy,
mm-hmm.
whose name
Ben
is,
something?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, from Pitch Perfect.
He's also in Pitch Perfect, but he and Beanie are best friends from high school.
Oh.
And they're like musical theater best friends.
That's nice.
And so she's also an amazing singer.
Hmm. Well, they should be Mark
she
and Maureen.
She might be a Maureen. Yeah.
He should be in it for sure.
Evan Platt? Again, Evan Platt. Evan Platt? Evan Platt.
Ben Platt.
Ben Platt. Ben Platt. Not mm-hmm. Evan. Mm-hmm. Not Evan. His name is not the character
oh,
he plays.
It's Evan Hansen. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think it's actually
Evan Hansen.
Hansen. Mm-hmm. Beanie and Ben as Mark and Maureen. Maureen and Mark. There
that
you
could
go.
Could be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. They've yeah. probably already done it.
You think? Like in high school?
Probably.
Because they are young
sung
enough
it in
that
their bedrooms.
I think they're young enough that like the Rent the School version would have been a possibility for
yeah.
them. Which
totally
came after my time.
Oh God, I want to see Rent at a School so bad.
Yeah,
I'm sure we could find one here in LA to go to.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah. As and I have been before, and I will go again
when school's back in session.
Just start.
Oh yeah, because
driving
past,
by school,
we're past spring musical mm-hmm. time, so we're mm-hmm. probably gonna have to wait for a while.
Yeah. yeah,
and then it might be hard to get rights to because of the live
oh,
version.
Totally.
So
oh.
we might be in a little bit of a drought for high school Rent.
Okay,
but
I'll find a bunch of high schoolers. I'll make them put it on. We got.
We do have a few different
time.
Versions planned to put up
because mm-hmm.
we're putting up a version with the jokes punched up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really?
No.
Oh, I would 100% watch.
As soon
or like,
as we get sponsored, yep, we're doing all of
modern day Rent. I also feel like it would be interesting, like 2018 Rent.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know what it would be. Just everybody's like checking Facebook and like the messages, the voicemails are all just DMs from your mom.
I'm in a Rent. A parody video playing Maureen. It's called like Rent 2012.
That makes sense.
It was a UCB digital team.
Sure.
I think they were called beta teams at the time.
They were. I named mm-hmm. them.
And you named them?
I think I came up with that.
Wow.
I think I also came up
first?
With mod teams.
Wow.
Not the idea of a mod
but
team,
like
but
name
the name.
Them.
Although wow. I might be taking credit away from Anthony because I think I can't remember which one I did because we would just banter. He was the artistic director
yeah.
and we would
mm-hmm.
just, he'd be like, we're going to do this thing. I'd be like, why not call? I might also be like Yoko Onoing myself here, and I didn't do any of that. I can't quite remember.
I believe you.
I'm putting it down in the books.
Yeah. I don't recall.
You name
the UCB4 is going to be like, who the fuck is this person claiming they did all these things?
And they do listen to this podcast.
I had a feeling Amy is tuning
She's
in.
Very into it. But yeah, I'm in a thing called Rent 2012, which obviously was 6 years ago, where we're like, what's Rent like now? I remember zero jokes from it, but it was that stuff where it was like, maybe it might have been like, got to get a viral video or got to, I forgot.
Totally. Maureen would
sure.
have to go viral.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I think it might have been part of the stuff that disappeared when like the UCB server crashed. So it may never
oh,
be
no.
viewable. I'm pretty sure Michael Hartney was also in it.
I mean, that sounds right.
Yeah.
That
sounds great. Mm-hmm. I think I would really enjoy this video.
Yeah. It was written by my boyfriend at the time. And that's how I got cast in it. You got to use those connections.
You got to get into those videos whatever mm-hmm. way you can.
Yeah. Well, great. I think we've sort of cast it.
Do you want to know what bad thing I did with Rent?
Yes.
When I was in college, a friend and I rewrote the lyrics to one song, Glory, to make fun of another person who didn't know that we did that.
Yes. Wait, can we... Do you remember the lyrics?
I do, but I don't want to say them because they're specifically... I mean, this is one of the meanest things I think I've ever done, but there was like this kind of not nice person that we went to college with,
mm-hmm.
and we thought it would be hilarious to then rewrite the lyrics of one song, Glory, making fun of this person, and then performed it for like three of our friends.
What's the gist? Can you give us that? Like, why one song, Glory? Does it play into that? Is it like
it just rhymed
one,
well?
One arm.
Oh, mm-hmm.
No. It's. I truly don't know. We still have the lyrics, and when we go back and talk, my friend and I, who I cannot out because they would be horrified. Like this is. If it was. You know when you do shit and you look back and you're like, wow, I was a really nasty. Mm-hmm. That was a really nasty, mean, it was served no purpose other than just to be mean.
Oh, yeah. I did that with, I still remember songs. They're not famous songs. They're songs from, I did plays at a place called Kid Skits. And I remember Kid Skits songs that my friend and I rewrote to make fun of other people.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better.
There was one that was like, I'm stuck in the 80s and I just don't know it. And of course, this was the 90s. So I don't know why we were being so mean about someone wearing like 80s clothes. But sure. Yeah, really catty, mean stuff.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's horrifying when I think of it now. That's why I don't want to ever name my friend who I did it with. But we took it so seriously.
The most
we like
low-key mean thing.
I know,
to do
but we like wore costumes. Like we had a whole thing, and then we just invited like only three of our friends
to
into our dorm room. And
totally rewrite it, to rehearse it, to choreograph it, and perform it for costumes. Three people is very funny.
I will also tell you, we were pretending to be horses.
Sure.
So that was part of it.
Wow.
Like the whole thing about it is that we were making fun of somebody. And we were the biggest losers. We were fucking people who rewrote a Rent song
yeah.
and like performed it.
Yeah.
Like that's the
as horses.
That's the lamest thing people can do. But anyway.
Did your friends like it? Like how'd the audience feel about
that's
it?
That's a great question. They probably laughed to make us feel good. They probably also thought we were the biggest losers.
What was the invitation like? Was it like an
e-bike? I can't remember if we were like, well, no, this was like 1997. So mm-hmm. It was like sent through the school email.
Yes, yes.
But I think we were probably just like, guys, get in here. We're gonna show you what we've been working on for the past 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
I mean, it was so incredible. Embarrassing. Oh, yeah. I was such a loser. That's the worst part, a mean loser.
Yeah.
It feels bad to think back to those. It does. It feels really, really yucky.
We all have those moments, though. I think about that. I like going to bed. I'll be almost asleep.
Almost at sleep.
I'll be almost at sleep, and then I'll remember something mean that I did in like 10th grade to someone, and I feel terrible about it. And I think about contacting that person on Facebook, and then I'm like, no, don't, just live your life.
Totally. Yeah. I have often worried that this person knew that we were making fun of them. I don't think they, I mean, my hope is that they didn't, but mm-hmm. What an asshole I was. Anyway, on that
we all
note,
were that, though. We all did that.
Yeah.
But Rent provided a great safe space to be a total jerk. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that, Jonathan.
Thank you, Rent.
Thank you, Rent.
Thank you, Rent.
And Kate. Where can people catch your stylings?
You can catch my beats. You can listen to my podcast on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get podcasts. It's called Forever 35. You can buy my book, which is called The Dead Moms Club, on any independent bookseller's website or, you know, the big corporate ones, the old Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm still performing at UCB.
Yes.
Yes. And
it's
on the internet.
Book. It's a great podcast.
Thank you
and,
so much.
And you're one of my all-time favorite improvisers.
Well,
too.
That's where I should be. You're up there. Everybody should say that about me. So thank
and
you
we
very
all do.
Much.
We all do.
We're
so glad you came on.
Thank you for making this podcast. Truly, you are filling a hole that was in my life. So God bless you.
Well, you're one of 100 people. You can, if you're listening still, you can email us. everythingisrentpod@gmail.com.
You can hit us up on Instagram at everythingisrent.
On Twitter at everything_rent.
And we would like to shout out to Zach Reno for doing our music.
We would like to shout out to James Mulholland for our artwork.
And we're going
to
shout out to Mark David Christensen for doing our engineering.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Today we have a very special guest. She is the... I'm going to take this.
No, take it. Keep it going. Keep it going.
This is the very first time.
I guess we're going to keep
it
going.
We're keeping all
yes.
of it. Yes.
Keeping everything.
It.
Podcast flubs are the best.
Yeah.
I'm Joel Spence.
And I'm Deborah Tarika.
And we're co-hosts of This Particular Album Is Very, Very Important to Me.
This is the podcast where we ask people we love to pick an album that is very, very important to them. And here they share their memories.
Great. And not so great.
And emotional connections.
Great. And also not so great.
And we all get to listen to it through their ears.
Join us for season one with guests like Ty Burrell, Nicole Byer, Betsy Sodaro, John Ross Bowie, and more. Available at Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.